I want to continue discussing with you some matters relating to Rosh Hashanah, Yanei Tfilah, and Yanei Rosh Hashanah. Let's start with some interesting minhagim. Paroches, and the mantle of the Sefer Torah, is changed from a colorful mantle to a white mantle, correct? Is that what we do all over? There are many different minhagim. When you begin, I always grew up that the night of Slichas, the Shabbos, everything was changed over.
Right?
For some reason, lately I don't see that in practice. When do you change the paroches from its colorful mantle to a white paroches? So I always grew up for Slichas, the first night of Slichas. In the yeshiva world, Ruba de Ruba, I haven't been around to many yeshivas, they don't do it. They do it for Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah. Is it because they're lazy, no one's in charge, and yeshivas typically, everything is a state of hefkeros. Even in the better yeshivas, right? Even in the yeshivas that have marble floors, they're always disoriented. I don't know if it's done with hakpada, or it's done by design, or it's done just accidentally. I do not know.
Maybe convenient because the people there for Slichas that night.
Yeah.
So, listen,
I don't know. But one thing which caught my attention, he doesn't talk about, he didn't say for Rav Teshuvah, does not discuss when they change for over to white. He discussed when you change back. When do you change back to... Oh, so what do we do here? Our custom is after Simchas Torah. If you're lucky, if the Gabbai is asleep at the switch, it might take until Parshas Noach, Lech Lecha, until he gets his act together. But everyone, I mean, it's very simple. During Simchas Torah, you're not going to find a shul in this community, in this neighborhood, that doesn't have a white parochas, if they could afford to have a white parochas for Rosh Hashanah to begin with. You're not going to find it. So he says that was not the way. He traces the minhagim. It's a fascinating thing. That's not the way it used to be. He says it used to be the real way to do it is for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have white, and then right after Yom Kippur you change back to regular for Sukkot. So Sukkot is not a time, Zman Simchasenu, it's not a time to have a white paroches. And then Hoshanah Rabbah you change again just for one day, Rav Teshna.
He's right.
That's the way it used to be, he says. And that's the way it should be. And he just takes on, he says, it doesn't make sense that today, why? He has mercy because it's too much of a tircha.
Right.
So Mamela, for the whole Sukkot, we keep it white. It's very big chiddush. And he says, really, it's wrong. Because it's not, for Sukkot, it's not...
What does it hurt?
So that's what you will say, that the whole doesn't hurt. It's all minhagim, doesn't hurt. To make an impression, it's all in order to misoyer. The chitzenias is moyer the kenenias. They can't afford it. You know how much it costs? To buy a parochas? Outrageous to buy what it costs. To buy a mantle? A mantle costs $1,000 to buy a nice for Sefer Torah. Whole Sefer Torah only costs $30,000-$40,000. And the mantle costs one third of the Sefer Torah.
That's because of the engraving, they charge you for leather.
Even that, it's outrageous.
You get a plain piece of cloth, you can do it very simple.
It's outrageous.
Don't
the price is...
For discussion.
Okay, there are different customs. But then he says, he claims, this is news to me. Do we have any Israelis here? This is news to me. He claims that in Eretz Yisrael, it's very common, Hayoim, today, that after Hoshanah Rabbah, before Simchas Torah, they change it back to the Kol HaParochas. He says that only in Chutz Li'aretz, for whatever reason, they keep it all day. The minig is become in Chutz Li'aretz, they keep it through Simchas Torah. But that's not the common minig in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, after Hoshanah Rabbah, in preparation for Shmini Atzeres / Simchas Torah, it's only one day. And so that's the custom, they change it back in honor of Yom Tov. Is that true? I haven't been in the area to show for Sukkot, I can't tell you. But that's what he claims. It was a chiddush to me.
Somebody told me don't change it for Sukkot. Will not change it for
Sukkot. No, he says they do. That's what he claims.
You mean they change it for that one day?
He claims they change it for that one day after the davening of Hoshanah Rabbah, when they clean up the shul, all the Hoshanahs on the floor, all the Aravas on the floor, they clean it up. That's when they change it back for the honor of Shmini Atzeres. Even though you've been mispalel for, it's a little bit of a chiddush for Geshem. So Geshem is like the Yom Narayim. I don't know.
According to my experience.
Yeah.
The Yom Narayim
over here. Okay, these are just minhagim. I don't know. I'm just pointing this out. What do you see here?
Because the shamans claimed to me that the kids come because they're with the foods and the lollies and the,
yeah,
and they
ruin it. So what does he do?
So change it back to this color.
So he'll ruin the color ones also.
But you don't see it. It doesn't show.
It doesn't show on the color. Okay, let's go to the next idea. Hamelech HaKadosh. Hamelech HaKadosh. One of the points he makes is that you have to concentrate for 10 days to say Hamelech HaKadosh. Now, why don't we have a solution? No, in Judaism, we have a solution for every problem. Say 90 times. You can't say 90 times. Because Baruch, you have to say Hashem's name. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. You can't be Moses Yisrael Mishraim Levatol 90 times. And if you're going to say Baruch Atah Hashem, so then if you have a suffix, there's a suffix if you said Hashem's name altogether. You'll get used to saying Hashem instead of saying Yudkei Vavkei. So, there's a mussar to this. There's no preparation, there's no loophole for preparing for HaMelech HaKadosh. It's a good musavart. There's no way you can prepare for HaMelech HaKadosh. When you come, that's how it is. Just a short halacha, what happens if you, during the year, you make a mistake and you say HaMelech HaKadosh? So during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, if you make a mistake and you say HaKel HaKadosh, so you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, you don't HaMelech HaMishpat, you make a mistake, it's okay, because anyway you're saying HaMelech. Yeah. Daven Nusach Svar, then you have to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. But what happens the other way around? What happens if after Yom Tov is over, you continue saying HaMelech HaKadosh? Do you need to repeat the Shemoneh Esrei? No. It's a very important halacha. Not everyone knows. If you make a mistake the other way around, you are A-okay. You can continue davening Shemona Esrei even though you said HaMelech when you should have said HaKel HaKadosh.
That's your solution.
What's the solution?
30 days before the Rosh Hashanah, you start saying HaMelech HaKadosh. Since you can say HaMelech.
But what do you do for the first 30 days?
No.
That's not a solution.
I didn't understand what you're saying.
Nusach Svar, how do you do the bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem? No, you don't say HaMelech. You don't say the word Melech, I believe, in Nusach Svar. You say the whole year round.
HaMelech
Ohev Tzedakah
Mishpat.
HaMelech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat. HaMelech Ohev. Without the hay?
Yeah.
So you don't say the hay. And Ashkenaz?
Same thing.
Okay, so that you don't have to change. If you're saying HaMelech, you are okay. Okay, let's go to... I will need a sitter for some of these things. Let me just go through them. If I have time, we'll go back to some of these things. Okay, what happens if you forget to say Zochreinu L'chaim? The four things, let's say you forget to say. So there is such a custom, never heard of this, is that you should say the four things, whatever you missed, you say after you say Yehiyu L'ratza. Hamavarech Hasamo Yisrael Ba'ashalom, Yehiyu L'ratza L'Refi, you should make it up. You should make up and you should say, oh, thank you so much. You should say, Zochreinu L'chaim. I never knew this. I never heard such a thing. You forget. It's it. It's Mu'uvah She'eni Yachol Liska. Not so simple. L'chol Hadeyas. There's no one that disagrees that when it comes to Kosveinu B'Sefer Chaim, the last thing we say by Sim Shalom, if you forget to say it, you are Mechuyiv and you're supposed to say it when you finish the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMavarech Esamo Yisrael Ba'Shalom, Yilu Ratzin Refi Yagim Lufth Hashem Tzurgoli, B'Sefer Chaim. Bracha v'shalom farnasa tova. You lose nothing. You lose nothing by saying b'sefer chaim after you finish the bracha. That's an idea. That's an important halachic idea. Which
you said
bracha. You already said bracha to Hashem. You made a mistake. You should have said it before. You made a mistake. You said bracha to Hashem. So it's too late to go back because you said Hashem's name. But just because it's too late to go back, but you can still gain everything that was meant to be. You get full credit for saying the Sefer HaChaim. So that's Machlokes. So he brings down a Machlokes and Minhagim. Some hold that you should do it. If you forget everything, you're an autopilot. You're davening Shemoneh Esrei autopilot and you miss everything. You miss Zochreinu. And you miss Micha Malcha. And you miss Uchsev L'Chaim. guess what? It's not too late. No, no. If you say Akela Kadosh, you have to repeat. You have to repeat. That you got to repeat. But when you finish, Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamavarech Asimah Yisrael Bashalom, Yehiu L'Ratzon, and now you can just say them all and you get full credit. Yishmi Mespal. These are things you say Zochreinu L'Chaim L'Chavetz B'Chaim, and you say, and then Uchasov L'Chaim Nichamocha, Uchasov Sefer Chaim. That is one coffee.
You have to get an art school to put it in.
Put it in. If you forget, if you forget. He though goes on to say that he personally disagrees with this minhag. He holds that these things must be said in the proper location. The only one that's proper to say when it's too late is b'sefer, but to say the one is nairat. Okay, let's go back to the level. Let's go back to this. I always wondered about this, and now I finally saw it in print. What happens if you get the say chosov l'chayim tov kol b'nei b'risecha? No, you blew it. Okay, it happens to me all the time, more often than not. Blew it. I forgot to say it. The cholachaim yiducha sela v'yihalu hashem chames, and now I say hokel, hokel Yeshua seinu v'yezra seinu sela. Forgot to say yuchasov. Forgot it. Can I go back and say it? If I go back and say it, I'm going to have to repeat Hashem's name a second time, right?
Say right there. Absolutely.
No, you're not supposed to say it right there. That's incorrect. The only place to say it is before you say the Chol HaChaim. Once you already passed that point, you don't. So what do you do? So it goes without saying. One is the Baruch Atah Hashem. If you say Hashem's name, of course, too late.
So before he says it.
Too late. To say it before is also you're not. No. So he paskins the Rabbi Teshner that you go back. And you say Uchasov L'Chaim Tov Kol B'nei Risecha, and then you say V'Chol L'Chaim Yiduchasel V'Yihalu Hashem Chabemesu, and you can say without any bad feelings, without any misgivings, Hakel Yeshua Seinu. It's B'derech Tefillah. It's a very powerful halachic. No. Once this is a very big yisoid. There's a difference between saying Baruch Atah Hashem and between saying Okel Yeshua Seinu. Saying Baruch Atah Hashem is a bracha. It's a bracha. It's derech tefillah. You cannot go back and say that again. Once you've said that, that's the point beyond return. But if you have not yet said Baruch Atah Hashem, and now there's an issue of going back and saying in the proper location and repeating the word Hakel, even though Hakel is one of the seven Shemos of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sheinim Nimchokim, which may not be erased, and in the Sefer Torah has to be written with Kedusha, it's not being said here as part of the Nusach of a Baruchah, Baruch Atah Hashem. So there is no harm whatsoever in repeating Hakel. It's a very bechish la'alacha. And that's this psak halacha, that's what he says should be done. I don't remember who he brings this from. He doesn't bring everything down from other people. Some things he says on his own. I don't have to go look it up here. There's a lot of stuff here. So I have to go look a few after.
I saw this once, I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw a guy davening. He actually davens every pasuk twice.
The Gemara says Mugumgum. You don't want to do that. What do you mean every pasuk twice? He stutters. The Gemara says Shema, Shema. He says Shema.
Not Shema, Shema. For example, we'll say La Mashiach Yisipu Cholaminim. And then I'll say it again.
No, that's ridiculous. That's
he needs help.
Send him to me. I'll straighten him out. And then I'll send him to you. And you'll finish him off. Okay, let's go to the next thing. Okay. Okay, next thing. Le'ela, le'ela, or is it le'ela, u'le'ela? So guess what?
Did you say mikol or minkol?
No, yeah, no, of course. No, you have to change
it. The words.
Mikol,
the
words. What?
No, the Babbage has a different nusach. They only say it once. They don't say it.
Okay. Do you say, so of course, they are different minhagim, le'ela, but he points out, this is an amazing idea, there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a steer. There are people who are Biki and Mishnah Berurah. They know all the steers. There's like a whole book. There's a book of all the contradictions in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah was not written by the Chavos Chaim. It was written by his son-in-law. He had partners. He had partners who assisted him, and he even knew. He even writes. He knew that he was aware that there were contradictions, but he felt that it was hashkocha pratis, that there should be, because they're both legitimate, and therefore let it be. Let there be contradictions. So there's a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah if you should say le'elo, Mishabur himself writes, you should say le'elo u le'elo with a vav. But then he writes, it's not, I don't see how it's such a, it should be repeated. The word le'elo should be repeated. So because he writes it should be repeated, Rabbi Teshton wants to say, that means that you should say without the vav. Is it a right out of raya? A lot of the medakdikim, a lot of the gehola, you should say without the vav. Le'elo, le'elo. Alright, so that's just point in point. Now, next thing. Now what about, now because we say le'ela, why McLeod do we say le'ela, le'ela? I don't really know, it's just for, it's in order to enhance the aura of the day, the yom, the says we say. And before, because we do that, what do? We have to change from min kol to mikol, because there has to be a term number of 28. Now the number, now by the way, the number 28, what is the number 28? There's really, is koyach mas higliyamo, there's really a question of what is the 28? Is the 28 going on the words, or is 28 going on letters? In other words, some hold that it's only going on Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Le'olam U'Le'olmei Olmaya. There are exactly 7 words in Yehei Shmei Rabbah, and there are exactly 28 letters in Yehei Shmei Rabbah. From Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mivarach Le'olam U'Le'olmei Olmaya. 7 words. How many letters? 28. So if that's true, that has nothing to do with the rest of the Kaddish. Why, by the way, why are there dafka 7 words in 28? What does it correspond to? It corresponds to the first pasuk in the Torah, which has 7 words and 28 letters, and the pasuk before the Aseres Hadibros. The introduction to the Aseres Hadibros has 7 words and 28 letters. However, others say, no, it's not 28 letters, it's 28 words. 28 words from Yehei, Shmei, Rabbah, Mevarach, Le'olam, Ulamei, Omaya, Yisparach, Yishabach, Yisparar, Yishamam, Yisnasei, Yisadar, Yisalev, Yisalol, Shmei, Tekudisha, Berich, Hu, Le'ela. Oh, so here comes the question. Le'ela, Min, Kol, Berchasav, Shirasav, Tushbachasav, Nechemasav, Tamiran, Bi'olma, the Imru. Or maybe I messed up somewhere. There are 28. What?
Brichu is
2 words. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look in the Siddur. I didn't count.
This is always the problem with these number things, because they use the word kevos, and you're never sure
what's called the word, right? But it's basically, so therefore, because it's 28, therefore, I just want to point out this chazal, it's 28. 28 goes 2 ways. Some say 28 refers to Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Some say 28 refers to from Yehei Shmei Rabbah until the Imru Amen. And that is why, if you're going to say Le'ela, Le'ela, you have to change from Minkol to Mikol. He says something very nice, that there's not Ma'akev. This whole thing of saying, if let's say you make a mistake, Le'ela, Le'ela. And then, so now you have to say Mikol. So let's say you blow it and you say Minkol. Don't worry. The number game is only Kabbalah. We're not into Kabbalah. It's much better, more important, not to embarrass the person that makes the mistake than to be so mocked. He puts in parentheses. Some do, some don't. But this is a very nice point. He says, in shul, you make a mistake, they get you. If you don't say le'ela le'ela, if you don't say, you say minkol mika, they get you. It says it's not right. You should practice not embarrassing. This is something which is a mamish a klenikite. To say la minkol mikol, this is a klenikite. So if you make a mistake, even if you make a mistake the wrong way, the right way, whatever it is, it's not kedai to embarrass a person for this halacha.
Most of what they do sometimes is before the guy reaches la'ela,
they already tell him in advance.
Bear in mind,
it's like I go to minchas every single Shabbos. This happens. The same joker. Same joker, go to a shul, daven mincha, well, not now, in the summer. They call up a guy for Levi. And the guy always says to him, when he's going up for Levi, the Shabbos afternoon mincha, I'm sure he does during Shachar as well, when the guy is going up, he says aloud, the whole shul can hear. He's going up, Levi's going up for his aliyah on Shabbos mincha, he says to him, it's a heavy Sefer Torah. It's a heavy Sefer, be careful, it's a heavy Sefer Torah. In other words, he's trying to plant in his mind Nachshava, that they give you Hagba. They didn't give you Sheni, so it'll go up now. He'll do. The whole summer didn't happen.
That's the same thing.
But he does every Shabbos, the same guy, every Shabbos. Be careful, it's a heavy Sefer Torah.
It's the same thing.
One week it's going to happen. I know that it did happen in that shul. It happened on Shabbos morning. It happened. I know. I don't know who, but that's probably why he does, because it was probably a famous. It happens on a Shabbos morning. They gave a guy Chamishi. Yeah. They called up a guy. The guy is not paying attention. The guy Chamishi. So a guy made a joke and says, "Be careful, time is David Torah." And he went for Chamishi.
Same thing. Same thing.
What did you do?
When we were kids,
terrible, right? It's terrible.
Were kids by Mincha, yeah. When we were kids by Mincha and Yom Tov,
yeah.
They always say,
"Guys, go psicha." And Yom Tov?
By Mincha.
Yeah, by Mincha.
And Yom Tov. He says,
"Go psicha." Oh, there's no psicha. Then Yom Tov, Shabbos Mincha. A guy went. Okay, and there are other jokes along these lines, and that nice thing. Okay, let's go first. Now, the other point he makes, just drumming the inyan, is that we open up. There's a discussion. We open up the Aron Kodesh for many parts of davening. So he traces the minhag. Yeah, he has a lot of interesting sources. What we do today is off the charts. They never opened up the Aron in all the places that we opened up the Aron. For example, opening up the Aron for Ledavid Mizmar. The night of Rosh Hashanah, it is the custom to say L'davim Mizmar L'Hashem Ratzim Lo'ah. Why, Bechlal, do we say that Mizmar? So it's brought down on the Kabbalah, some it's a segula for Parnasa. A person that says L'davim Mizmar very carefully with Kavana is Muftach, that he will not be lacking Parnasa Mizonos the entire year. It should be said very slowly with Kavana. And it is our custom in every single shul in the world to open up the Aron Kodesh for its recital. He says he looked in every sefer he can find. He cannot find the Makar for this.
According to that, everyone should be rich then. Everyone should have Parnasa.
If you have, if you're not starving, if you're not
after that,
there's many tears. But he says, why do we open up the Aron Kodesh? It's brought down in many. He has all the sources. What it says to say it. There's no question. This is a very ancient custom that it should be said. But to open up the Aron, couldn't find it anywhere. Even when we open up the Aron at the beginning of Shemona Esrei, we open up the Aron a lot more than it appears that was done. What was done, right? All these things that was done in ancient times, the Aron was not opened that often. And it was opened a lot less than what we do today. For whatever reason, it became a big thing to open up the Aron. And then why we open the Aron? There are two reasons why you open the Aron. For certain parts of davening, you open the Aron to give kavod to the Sefer Torah, like Haderes v'Hamuna, L'Chai Ha'Elamim, or other certain piyutim. The piyut, the opening up the Aron, is a very important yisod. This is beautiful. He brings this down in a very beautiful way. You're opening up the Aron to give kavod to the piyut, to give kavod to the Torah, to give kavod to Klal Yisrael. It's a form of giving honor, nothing more than that. And you pay attention to the Sefer Torah, so on and so forth. Other times you open up the Aron as a siman that the Sharei Shamayim should be open. It's a bakasha. We're desperate. We ask of Yakadosh Baruch. We have a request. Don't let us down. Don't let the heavens be opened.
So let it be open the whole time.
It's not respectful. There has to be drama. There has to be the effect. If you do it every single day, the effect is lost. The less you do it, the better. The less you do it, the more effect it has. So if, like, for Ne'ilah, when we open up the Aron Kodesh for Ne'ilah, when we open up the Aron Kodesh for the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, when you take out the Sefer Torah, Hashem, Hashem, that's the opening of the Aron is for the purpose of may the gates of heaven be opened and Hashem should accept our prayer. When you take out the Sefer Torah on Yom Tov, you recite the Yud Gimel Midos Hashem 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 three times. Now, why do you have to open up the Aron? You open up the Aron to take out the Sefer Torah. You don't open up the Aron to say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. We should say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, and then open the Aron to take out the Sefer Torah. No, you open it first. The opening is not for the Sefer to take it out. The opening is Sharei Shamayim Psach. It's Mesamel. Just like here in this world, the gates of the holiest gates of the Torah are open, likewise in Shemayim, the holiest gates, the gates in Shemayim should be open. Okay, then he mentions Derech Haga. I found this to be very, very bizarre. What happens if they give Mechabed you with Psicha? the mechaber, someone with tzricha to open up the aron for a part of davening, that the custom is open. And there's another person that's davening shmona esrei, that's in your way. So you would have to go and walk in front of him in order, or walk in front of him while he's davening shmona esrei in order to get to the aron, to open the aron. Now people do this every single day, ma'isim b'chol yom, during chazaras hashah, during. No, let's talk about mincha, shacharis, and mincha, and ma'ariv, every single day. You'd always have this problem. Someone's having a long shmon esrei, and you want to take your 3 steps back and he's walking, or you want to go to the bathroom, or you want to go get a sefer, and there's a guy having shmon esrei. So what? So we're not makbid. Should we be makbid? You always find a guy that's very frum, a frummy, that will be very makbid. He's not gonna walk back because there's someone someone's still having shmon esrei. No, I'm not making lasanas. That's the halacha. Yeah. So he says that opening up the aron is not as important as the prohibition of walking in front of someone with shmona esrei. Would you believe? So therefore, they're up to v'chol maminim. Right up to v'chol maminim, and there's a guy that's right by the front of the aron, and in order to open it, you have to walk in front of him.
He's still standing.
So he says, me'ikar hadin.
After the sun.
So say the v'chol maminim with the aron closed. It's a bigger covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have respect for a person that's being oimed lefnei hamokom nishmon esrei, then walking in front of him to open the aron. What's the ikur and what's the tafel? We live in a generation where everything is kum.
It's a stick, yeah. Because you said before the opening, the parag is for the covet HaTorah.
Yeah.
So, which is more important, the covet of Torah or the covet of the dynasty?
It's not a covet to the person davening, it's the halacha. The halacha of not walking in front of a person's davening Shmona Esrei is halacha. Is halacha. Opening up the aron is a new minuk, which he says didn't even exist a few hundred years ago. Okay. To open up the aron. So, opening up the aron is not so important. What?
So you say halacha trumps
this particular minute, but obviously it's never going to happen because we know that the shul will never let anyone get away with it, and it's not going to happen.
If the guy still says Shmona
Esrei, yeah, yeah.
Whenever the aron kodesh is open, is it required to stand?
Excellent. He has almost a whole chapter on this.
That's what I wanted to ask.
So, Meikar didn't know. He leaned. He says, maybe someone will tell you, he holds that the Sefer Torah is in its own reshus. It's in its own makom. It's nothing more than a minok to give cover to the Torah, but it's not required al pi halacha. The only time al pi halacha you mechuyif to stand is when the aron is traveling, when the Sefer Torah is traveling. It's out of its location. But when the aron is open, you have no obligation to stand. You don't. It's a nice thing to stand. It's a custom. It's the minhag. Of course, that's the proper thing to do. That's a custom. That is a custom. It's a nice thing to do, but it's not halacha. And therefore, if you're tired, if you don't have to exert yourself,
if that be the case, on Sifkos Torah, do you have to stand? Oh,
yes.
And Simchas Torah, when the Torah is moving, yes. It's a big problem.
They say you should take chair outside.
Either that, go outside.
You should go to a different. You go to the side. Yeah.
Rabbi, the Ilo standing for the Ilo.
What? It's the same issue. The Ilo, the Aron is open, but the Sifrei Torah are munach al mekoyimam. The Sifrei Torah are resting in their location. They're in their own reshus. It's in an aron. It's in a room, so you don't have to stand. The custom is that if you're healthy and you're vibrant and you want to be in the soirer, since the aron is open, it's a beautiful thing to stand if you can, if you have the koyach to stand. But if you don't have the koyach, you don't have the koyach.
I have an interesting question. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, did they daven the same Shmona Esrei?
We really don't know. They didn't have the formal nusach that we have, that's for sure. The Anshei Knes HaGdolah, they formalized the nusach after the Churban Bayis Sheni. But it doesn't mean that the nusach that was formalized by the Anshei was not partially, in some form, recited during the time of the Bayis Sheni, and maybe even during the Bayis Rishon. The truth is, we really don't know. It's a big mystery.
They didn't daven at all.
One thing is clear: daven was very short. Daven was not. It was not like today. You sit the whole day in shul. Daven was over by 9 o'clock.
In lieu of the
of the avoda, but the avoda was only done in by a select group of people who saw the avoda. You had only the kohanim; they didn't even let Yisrael into the Beis Hamikdash. So you had a select group of people. What exactly did they do? We don't know. It's a big mystery.
The Kohen Agadol went into the
Kodesh Hakodashim, Yom Kippur.
The rest of the people were just standing waiting.
Waiting. What happened? They were very nervous. They were very nervous. If he didn't come out right away, they thought he died. He was killed.
I know, but I'm just saying.
So what did the masses, what did the whole Klal Yisrael do on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur during the time of the Bayis Rishon? Big, big mystery.
Did they have shuls, local shuls that they went to and davened?
We don't know. I don't know. We don't really know. It's a big mystery.
We don't know if they opened
the... Even the Bayis Sheni, we don't know what they did. We have no idea.
They had their own local shuls.
They didn't even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. The Sefer Torah was hidden away. That we get only very few Sefer Torah. Today, who doesn't know what a Sefer Torah looks like? Everyone goes, open up a Sefer Torah, you go to shul. The Sefer Torah was sacred. It was like scary. It was so holy. He wrote 13. He gave each shevet. Each shevet happened. Each shevet for millions of people. So who had access to Sefer Torah? Life was very different. But we should not think that they were simple people. The Gra said about himself, the Gra who only lived, how many years ago? 300 years ago? So the Gra said about himself that he, you know, there was no one like the Gra. The Gra was off the charts. He can imagine, he could fathom what it was like to be a Tana.
What?
A Tana, one of the Tanoim who lived during the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, going back 2,000 years, he felt, the Gros said, he felt that he can have a taste of what it was like to be on a Madrega of a Tana. But to be a water carrier, the simplest person to live during the time of the Nevi'im, of the Bayis Rishon, impossible to imagine what madrega they were on. The simplest person during the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Gra said it's not humanly possible, if even him, the Gra, to fathom what kind of madrega they were on. So we really have no clue what life was like during that period of time. Okay, Radha, one quick thing which I always intrigued me, he has a very beautiful discussion about this thing about the beginning of Shacharis. We changed the words around according to Nusuf Ashkenaz so that it should be Befi Yishorim Tisalol of Divrei Tzadikim Tisprach Vashon Chasidim. We changed those words, spell Yitzchak, Yishorim Tzadikim Chasidim Kedoshim, and we match those up with on the other side Tisreimam Tiskadosh Tisalol with Rivka. Nusuf Ashkenaz the entire year round, it's the order doesn't fit. Only when it comes to Yamim Noirohim do we change the order. We make it fit Yitzchak versus Rivka. Why? What in the world is going on? So he says, because one of the Mekoros for Tefillah is that Yitzchak was, I've got the pasuk, that Yitzchak was Mispalel Nochach Rivka Ishto. Vayetar Yitzchak Nochach Ishto. And what were they mispalel for children? Right. They were mispalel for children. That is the ikar, the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. That's the ikar, is to be mispalel Chana, Sarah, and Rachel were nifkida on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say Rivka. She wasn't saying it was nifkida, but Rivka was also mispalel for children. And it's a team effort. The point is, this is the point, that it's done by design. The whole year round, it's just Yitzchak. Yitzchak was mispala, Yitzchak. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's Vayetar Yitzchak Lenochach Ishto. I'm mispala in my corner, you're mispala in my corner, and we are mispala opposite each other. Tefillah on the Yomim Noirohim is a team effort. The whole year round, no, you're mispalel, I'm not mispalel opposite you. What I want in life is not what you want in life. What you want is not what I want. Everyone has their own agenda. That is the nature of tefillah throughout the year. Everyone's their own man. Okay, you come together, tefillah b'tzibur, you have a group prayer. But the attitude on Rosh Hashanah from the very beginning of HaMelech, when you right away before you start, is no. We're now beginning Shacharis. It's a team effort. Each person has to be mispalel for what that person needs. And that person has to be mispalel for what you need. The tefillah has to be begeder vayetar Yitzchak nochach ishto. He's mispalel for her, she's mispalel, they're opposite each other, it's a team effort. Okay, one of the quick things is Hamelach. The minig is to sing Hamelach. Now, there are a few very peculiar things. The minig is, he says he can't find anywhere, why is it the minig that the Shliach Tzibur, he starts at Hamelach from his place, his seat, and then he comes in. So there's a very famous offer by Wolfson, Moshe Wolfson, I once told this to Rabbi Wolfson, says the reason is because of Amunas Yisrael, safe Amunas Yitach, because on the Sholosh Golem we go to Hashem, right? We go to Hashem. We come to the Olis El Hamokoim Asher Yivcha Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah, Hakadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. He comes to us. He calls out to us. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is among us. So we call out Hamelech. You don't have to go to the front. The Melech is among us. Amcha, he's part of the Hamoinam. And we make that point that Kikaro Velecha is Tfila, I've got the pasuk, but it's something that is close to us. We don't have to go and exert ourselves to a point, oh, we have to go up to the Makom. Hashem is within us. He's close to us. Now, why do we sing the Hamelech with such elaboration? Especially the hay. So he calls him the Minig Yisrael Torah. Amazing thing, because the focus is to focus on the letter hay. On Rosh Hashanah, oil, this world was created. Hayoim Haras Oilam. It is the creation of this world. The world was created with two letters, the hay and the yud. The hay is Oilam Hazeh, and the yud is Oilam Haba. The Oilam Hazeh was created with the letter hay. And therefore, when we begin Hamelech, we emphasize, you are the Melech of Olam Hazeh, of this world that you have created, Bo Bayom, on this very day, and therefore there's an Indian to emphasize the letter Hey. Another reason he gives why you say, you emphasize, you go ha 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 ha, until you finally get out the word, is to show the Pacha, the Emes Adin. When you're afraid of someone, you're not able to get out the word, so you stutter. So you stutter with the letter Hey to krich out that Mem.
Zimmer will stand in his place
until the Hamelech is finished. Okay, we'll continue with Shem tomorrow. Have a nice